10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian forces now taking part in the biggest occupation of Russian territory by a foreign army since World War II. Here's ABC's Ian Pannell.
Thousands of Ukrainian troops are now believed to have crossed in the last week around Kursk and now Belgorod. These are two places, by the way, that are used to launch attacks against Ukraine. Fierce firefights have been reported as Russia urgently sends in its defensive units, its attacking with drones and aircraft. Over 100,000 residents have now been forced to flee their homes.
Israel bracing for a retaliatory strike following the assassination of a top Hamas official in Tehran. A top Hezbollah leader was also assassinated. Israel watching its northern border closely as well. Donald Trump talking with Elon Musk last night on X, saying he would carry out the largest deportation in U.S. history if reelected. Arizona becoming the sixth state to include abortion rights on the ballot this fall. Voters will decide whether to ban the procedure at 24 weeks. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today's partisan primary election day is the first time voters are casting ballots under new boundaries for Wisconsin's Senate and Assembly districts. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
I have not heard a lot of contact from voters expressing any sort of confusion, but certainly if voters have those types of questions, there are some really good resources.
Wolf recommends myvote.wi.gov. Election night coverage on most civic media radio stations and online begins tonight at 8. Attendance at this year's Wisconsin State Fair set a record. The State Fair Board says 1.1 million people came through the gates in West Allis. That's about 6,500 more people than last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The University of Wisconsin-Superior campus police are looking for volunteers to help with active shooter training. According to a Fox 21 report, the training will be held on Wednesday and Thursday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Holden Fine and Applied Arts Center, and authorities are looking for 5 to 10 volunteers to help with the training by acting as the students in the simulated scenarios. Authorities are also informing residents not to be alarmed at the increased law enforcement presence on the campus during the training. A popular sushi restaurant in Duluth will shut its doors for good at the end of the year. According to a WDIO report, the owners of Wasabi on East Superior Street say they will close their Duluth location to focus on the Superior location. The Wasabi in Superior recently reopened this spring after it was completely destroyed in a January 2023 fire. They say closing the Duluth restaurant in favor of the Superior one is a strategic shift in focus. The owners of the Duluth property say they're searching for a new tenant. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Crew lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost game one of their four-game series to the Dodgers last night, the final 5-2, game two tonight. Manager Pat Murphy said he thought his young Brewers team was a little intimidated facing the Dodgers, and future Hall of Famer now in his 17th season, Clayton Kershaw, on the mound.
If you want to be, you want to swim with the Sharks, you got to be willing to step up in these situations and put together, forget about who's on the mound. I mean, and forget about, you know, it's baseball. I just felt like we didn't have the right approach there mentally for a situation, but it is their young guys in front of their hometown crowd, and it's Kershaw.
NFL, one of the players who stood out in the Packers' win over the Browns was wide receiver Grant DuBose, who had 5 catches for 66 yards, leading the team in receptions.
Grant had a really good game the other day. Obviously, he made some pretty clutch catches, but his effort blocking was excellent as well.
That's Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, some sunshine in the morning. Mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 82 with scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the partisan primary election day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're just getting ready for the big one. That comes in November. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you know, I can listen to Otis Redding and that song a thousand times.
Yeah, it's really, it's a pleasant song, you know, and I think of it right by Lake Monona in Madison, there's a plaque. Right there, because
where the plane went down.
The plane went down, and it was right after this was a big hit, actually.
You know, and actually, it was right around the summer. I never will forget, as a young man, when that plane went down, and he had just released Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. The other part of it is he had just bought this plane, and it was an old plane, and Smokey Robinson of the Miracles told him, hey, you need to get that plane checked out. You're flying around.
Yeah.
You really need to be cognizant of it. It's an older plane. You need to. And he had warned him that he shouldn't be flying around in that plane. And it went down anyway. Anyway, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Speaking of planes, I'm wondering about this Trump. If I think he's a little mentally something wrong with him. On the Saturday news, I don't know what he's trying to prove by this. He told a reporter that he was on a helicopter with a person named Willie Brown, and he said some awful things about Kamala Harris, and it turned out to be that Willie Brown said he never talked to him, and it turned out to be the wrong Brown. That's why I'm wondering, is that guy all there?
Well, it wasn't even the wrong Brown. It was just the wrong black man.
Yeah.
It was the guy that was on the plane, apparently helicopter with him, was a legislator from Los Angeles with a different name. He said, who sort of humorously said, I'm a tall black man. Willie Brown's a short black man, but maybe we all look alike to Donald Trump. So, apparently the event happened, but it had nothing to do with Willie Brown, and probably had nothing to do with stories that Willie Brown did or didn't tell him about Kamala.
Well, you know, and thank you for the call, Don. You know, truthfully, how soon Republicans forget they were just attacking Joe Biden and calling him Dementia Joe, and they were making a big deal out of the fact that Joe Biden was suffering some and his memory was not what it was once before, as all of ours have certainly in time will change all of that. But Donald Trump, clearly, Sandy, is he sticks out like a sore thumb now. When he's standing next to Joe Biden, he can look spry, right?
Yeah.
And he can, and he, well, I challenge you to a golf game. Well, yeah, you know, and then you look at him now. And so up against those young people, he's got old ideas and he looks tired.
Well,
and he looks washed
out.
Well,
he's got an approach to the world that I'm not sure has changed much, which is just basically 100% BS. You know, it's designed to be responsive to the moment. It's designed to be persuasive to those who might not be thinking through the facts. You know, it's kind of worse than cocktail chatter. I guess it's like cocktail chatter where you're talking to people who've had too much to drink. He doesn't drink, but he's talking to people who have too much to drink who aren't going to think through what he's saying and get all the way to the facts and be persuasive in that regard. So, you know, you can say that there are millions of immigrants coming into this country every month, and, gosh, that's a pretty alarming number. It's totally fallacious.
Let me ask you, Rupert Murdoch and others, and people who, you know, bankroll and, you know, and really kind of out of blood, the bloodlines for the Republican Party and Donald Trump, they're starting to see some things that they're saying, hey, can we keep this charade up?
Well, like I said last week, I noticed in reading and listening to the podcast for the Wall Street Journal, reading the Wall Street Journal, they're beginning to distance themselves, even on the editorial pages, from Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has some harebrained ideas that will relate very badly to what Wall Street needs in the way of stability. His notion of his tariff policy would be a terrible policy as far as Wall Street is concerned. His massive tax cuts without reductions in expenditures would be massively inflationary and would be terrible policy as far as the finance community is concerned, and his announced intent to try and politicize the Federal Reserve would be god-awful news to Wall Street. I think all of those things have the financial community very worried about a Donald Trump presidency.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And Gene from McClaire, good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Hi. Even, you know, childless English pointer hunting dog hugger like myself, who's already voted, I voted for the kids. I voted for adolescents and teenagers and young people throughout our country, you know, to protect our children from issues of climate change, mass shootings, for their safety, you know, lessening of the labor laws for children. I mean, I did studies on that when I was going to college years ago, you know, how children were used as labor, hard labor. And education. These kids need education. And we need to protect them from abusive practices and keep child safe and work so they have a chance at a great future. And women. You know, I remember years ago there was a hospital that in our area here, and the women didn't go there because if the mother was, you know, there was a chance between a mother and a child dying in childbirth, they saved the child at the expense of the mother, and everybody was horrified at that because who would take care of the kids that remain? I mean, these people are so whacked out. They are irresponsible, or they're loony or evil, but we really need to get the people in there all the way down the ticket that are going to protect the children and their future and give hope to young adults, too, because this is ludicrous. And all of us older people need to get out there and vote and help these kids to have a decent life, because it's up to everybody to protect our kids.
Hey, Gene, thank you. Thank you very much for those kind words, as always. Sandy, let me kind of flip the page. The COVID is kind of running rampant. A lot of people have COVID right now. A lot of people sick from COVID. And there are some signs that it's going to be pretty tough this winter. When COVID is around in the warm weather, clearly it's going to be multiplied during the winter. They're suggesting, the question becomes whether or not people should get COVID shots again. And you know, I didn't, the last shot, a year or so ago, and maybe it was, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, I didn't get. And I had gotten the ones before that. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that just recently, in fact, the CDC, I think it was, announced that they were recategorizing COVID to be essentially in the same category as influenza in terms of the notion that people should look out for it, should, you know, that it is a disease that can potentially be dangerous to people depending on their
health
and condition and age. And that they should seriously consider being vaccinated annually to deal with it as the vaccinations become available, much as the same recommendation is made with respect to influenza. And so I guess people need to put their thought process about vaccinations for COVID in the same category as they do influenza. I think that my experience with COVID is that it probably is a bit more severe than influenza. And obviously the pandemic epidemic experience we had in the United States demonstrated that for certain people it is indeed a serious problem. So I think people should consult with their doctor and should seriously consider getting vaccinated.
You know, Sandy, it is going, and that's the issue, right? There's been vilification.
Yeah, well, it's come down to this, though. During the period of the epidemic and pandemic, the notion of getting vaccinated was kind of a community obligation because we were trying to keep not only ourselves, but other people, the people we might give it to, from getting it, okay? And I think now what the new recategorization of it is making it more of a personal decision that you do it on behalf of your own your own concept of your personal benefit, your sort of a risk-benefit analysis for yourself about vaccination. And, of course, the proven risk of vaccination appears to be very low based on the experience of the pandemic and the outcome. But, again, now they're saying basically it's up to the people.
You know, Tony, you get the shots because the disease mutates and the vaccination changes to handle the new mutations, same as the flu shots. Different strains in different years. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
And this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
they're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources, dump those flower pots out, don't let dog or kitty pools sit, fill them when you're going to use them, and then dump them out. Clean the gutters, reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You've been kind of playing a lot of
weather music.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Marley.
Yeah, Bob Marley music lately.
I like reggae.
Yeah.
It's a smile. It's a make you smile kind of music.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I want to go back to the COVID issue for at least one more segment. Because I'm wondering, I think people are really confused, more so than they've ever been, about this. The Center for Disease Control used to be something that we would take heed to in this country, right?
Yeah, well, it got politicized during the COVID pandemic. And as a result, anything that gets politicized ends up losing credibility in the process. And it's one of the disservices that happened during the pandemic and the way that I think the Trump administration decided to politicize things like masks, which remain politicized. My understanding, I was talking to someone who was up north, decided they were going to wear a mask, went into a place, and people were horrified, expressing horror at the fact that this person would wear a mask because it seemed to them to be sort of, a political statement or it's unusual. It's, you know, I like Tim Walz's notion of mind your own damn business.
Yeah.
and I do think the American public is going to be very attracted to that concept because it is a response to so much of what has become interpersonal and politicized between people. And, you know, if people just kind of minded their own damn business, we'd have a much easier time of many things.
So, Sandy, if we've gotten to the point where we don't have faith and confidence in the Center for Disease Control, long term, look at what that opens us up to. Now, even for those who don't agree with the vaccine for COVID, the other things that the Center for Disease Control and many of the things that they research and give us really life-saving and changing information, we've totally dismissed that.
Yeah, in politicizing science, it started kind of with climate change and the politicization of data and the belief that science was manipulating the facts and presenting things to us which weren't in fact factual. And that became politicized. And then during the pandemic, the science of medicine became politicized. And all of that means that we lose faith, we lose confidence in our sources of information. We've gotten to the point where there are very few kinds of facts that can be discussed where people don't take them on from a political standpoint. I'm from Missouri, prove it kind of a thing. And stating their own facts and saying, you know, tell me why I'm wrong, you know, disprove my statement. And, you know, we end up with all of us out here, novices, non-scientists, arguing about concepts about science that can be answered by scientists, but science has been politicized.
Well, you know, Sandy, I was talking about this yesterday. That whole debate about not listening to the Center for Disease Control, people started listening to people on
social media.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, Robert Kennedy, okay?
Yes.
he sounds factual. He's got lots of facts to spout. He's not a scientist, not a doctor. You know, he's got his own theories. His theories don't really relate necessarily to the mass risk-benefit ratio associated with public health. Public health is a very important concept to a country, okay? And public health extends beyond the individual to the general public's health and welfare. And we're looking to our government to help us with public health issues, things, you know, that, that got things like smallpox under control. We don't have cholera in this country. We don't have a lot of issues in this country that many other places face because we've we have a national government which has helped us scientifically reach the point where we don't have to worry about those things.
Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And Sandy, it's always nice to have you in the seat and listening to your views on particular topics. I did listen to some of the Elon Musk and Trump interview. And I just shut it off because he really wasn't saying anything new that I haven't heard before. What I want to say is this, that both parties, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they are not speaking to people like me. I consider myself politically homeless. Although I have supported the Democratic Party in the past, I have huge disagreements on many of their policy positions. I am very uncomfortable with the coup regarding President Biden. If the Democratic Party felt that President Biden was not fit to serve a second term, then they really should have encouraged other people to run against him in the primary. And I am, as I said before, I'm very uncomfortable with them just tossing away 14 million primary votes. Those people went out and voted for President Biden. And just because you don't want Trump to win is no reason to toss aside those votes.
Cassandra, let me ask you, and I'll let you continue. Those 14 million people, I don't hear them clamoring and whining and saying, hey, somebody stole my vote. I hear them coalescing behind Kamala Harris.
Well, and for better or worse, there weren't contrary candidates to vote for, right? So we ended up with primaries in which there were no real viable candidates running against Joe Biden. Joe Biden made the decision himself. He obviously received advice, maybe some pressure from third parties, but it wasn't a coup. No one put a gun to his head. I think he looked at the realities and decided, you know what, maybe I shouldn't stand for re-election, and stepped down. And then the party did use its own process for coalescing around Kamala. There's no constitutional requirement that parties have primaries. How a party selects its candidate is up to the party itself. And as Earl said, if this really was something that had the general public feeling like they had been duped or fooled, I think there'd be someone coming forward on the Democratic side expressing that opinion. But the only people I hear expressing that opinion, quite frankly, I mean, you are right now, but it's an opinion that is expressed far more often by Republicans who are simply trying to come up with an argument for why it is that Kamala shouldn't get elected president.
Go ahead, Cassandra.
That's just a point of difference that we will just have to have a friendly disagreement on. My other issue is, Earl, I'd like to thank you for having Orlando on your show yesterday. And one thing, I do listen to both.
Hey, Cassandra, why don't you, can you hang on a second, Cassandra? Hang on a second. 844-967-2789. Is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Staffing levels at Wisconsin's youth prisons is on the agenda as Governor Evers' Juvenile Justice Commission meets today. Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools are under more scrutiny since a teenager attacked and killed a counselor in June. One study finds black farmers lost more than $300 billion worth of land in the 20th century, partly due to discriminatory government policies. The Inflation Reduction Act is now paying more than $2 billion to minority farmers, ranchers, and foresters.
You can put your blindfolds on, you can turn your head the other way, but the fact of the matter is it did happen. It's documented. It's not a secret, so let's address it.
That's Sharon Mallory, who was with the 2020 Farmers Co-op, which is pushing for changes at the U.S. Agriculture Department. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The demolition of the former St. Mary's Medical Center in Duluth has officially begun. According to a Fox 21 report, demolition crews arrived at the East 4th Street site on Monday to begin tearing down one of the campus skywalks connecting the medical center to the other health buildings in the area. City officials are reminding residents to avoid the area during the month of August as a number of roads will be closed for the demolition work. The closures will affect areas of East 4th Street, 5th Avenue East, and 4th Avenue East. Duluth's new arena football team is taking home some hardware following their first season. According to a Fox 21 report, the Duluth Harbor Monsters became the first ever Arena Mania champions on Saturday night with a 46-44 victory over the Iowa Woo. Overall, the Harbor Monsters finished with a 7-3 record in their first season. Repeating as champions will be even harder for the team next year, as the league will grow to include new teams like Eau Claire and Arkansas. This year's season featured only four teams. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a movie this weekend that is ripe for theater viewing as opposed to streaming, and you can't seem to get enough of franchises, check out Alien Romulus. Not even sure I need to explain what it's about, but the story finds colonizers in space who end up in peril when they come face to face with, you guessed it, aliens. Alien Romulus is the umpteenth installment in the series and most likely not the last, and it opens August 16th. Have fun at the movies. Matt Damon says the people and culture of Boston can seem abrasive and harsh. Damon's new comedy is called The Instigators and is set in the actor's native city. His lifelong pal and castmate Casey Affleck also calls Boston his hometown. Damon says he is aware of how people view Boston and can be put off by Bostonians' sarcasm and cynicism. But to him, it feels like a comfortable pair of socks. New tourism slogan, anyone? The Instigators can be streamed on Apple TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, some sunshine in the morning. Mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 82 with scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5 year old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Brian and I will be talking about the Olympics. What was your favorite event? We want to hear from you. I'll also be joined by Wisconsin Policy Forum past president Rob Henkin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
Absolutely.
You know, she, they made a string of records similar to this. All upbeat.
Yeah. She was good music. I mean, Motown, she was really the heart of Motown, I think, even more than the Supremes.
Yeah, well, welcome back to, all right. The Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Cassandra, thank you for hanging on. You were saying about Orlando on yesterday. And for those of you who don't know, Orlando is clearly a Republican. He works for Senator Ron Johnson. He's a black guy. And I had him on yesterday because people kept asking me my thoughts about whether or not blacks were starting to lean towards voting for Republicans and Donald Trump. And that's the reason I had him on. Cassandra, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to wrap up and say to you, thank you for having him on your show and bringing on a different perspective, especially in the black community. One thing I was disappointed with Orlando is his lack of honesty regarding the history of the Republican Party. Orlando stated that the Republican Party was always the party of civil rights, or that's what he implied, and that is not the case. The Democrats, particularly the Southern whites, moved and started voting as Republicans after the passage of the Civil Rights Act. It was those so-called yellow dog Republicans. These were people who said, I'd rather vote for a yellow dog before I vote for a Republican. Well, there was a change of heart with that particular Southern white group, and they moved into the Democratic Party. And Orlando was
Republican, Republican Party, Cassandra. Yeah.
Yeah. Into the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I stated before, you know, I am without a political home because at times I feel both parties, they are not being true to history, and oftentimes they are just not offering the policies that will really help, that will really help me and my community move ahead. So that's my view, and I know other people might disagree with me, but that's where I am right now.
Well, I think,
thank you for listening.
I think the politically homeless is a growing body. Particularly, it was a growing body during the time when the choice was between Biden and Trump, because there were people with reasons not to be favorable to either side, mostly to do with the individuals. But I think when we need to get back to policy discussions, so that the people who are homeless can begin to reflect on what it is that might be good for them in the policies being discussed that might be adopted by their government. We need to deal with those things and get away from all these more superficial social issues that don't really help Tom, Dick, and Mary, but relate to something that might excite or inflame people. Hopefully that's what's going to happen from this point forward during this campaign, because I have a sense that Tim Walz and Kamala Harris are going to be interested in talking about policy. I hope they are, and I believe they will be.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call, as always. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
I just wanted to address what Cassandra was just saying and try to make it and try to draw some lines for her. If we're looking at party versus party, it's interesting because this year I feel like the Democratic Party has gotten back to the family kitchen table, or maybe they got away from it in 2020 because we were busy mudslinging with Trump and his shenanigans. But what I would say to a person like Cassandra who feels she's homeless, Cassandra, you know, Earl's a real great listen in the morning. And, well, imagine if he was no longer there because people didn't like what he was saying and was going to have him fired off the air or get rid of the Civic Media channel somehow financially altogether. That's the Trump side in Project 2025. Now, you may not agree with everything that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz has to say, but on the bottom line is that with them in charge, Earl will continue his show, other shows will continue, Fox News will continue, and there'll be two sides and three sides to any argument. So I think that's what I would say to Cassandra, who feels she's homeless. She's not homeless. And also, Cassandra, imagine walking out your door and going to a protest because something that Trump did really upset you. And then you're arrested and jailed and don't see your house for maybe 6 months to a year. That's also another part of Project 2025. So I think you need to do a little more homework. And I think maybe that homework will push you towards a political home. And that's it.
Hey, Brendan, well said. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, it clearly, you know, Project 2025, several weeks ago, you know, you did a deep dive. We did a deep dive, and you clearly pointed out a lot of the there are Orwellian kinds of things that are involved in it. And Donald Trump has clearly pulled away from it. Even earlier in this show today, you talked about the fact that just because Donald Trump says, oh, wait a minute, I don't know anything about those things, that doesn't mean that if he wins, those things don't happen.
It almost surely doesn't mean that, in fact, because when you read it, you realize how much of it probably comes directly from the people who will be advising Donald Trump or those who were writing this because they knew he would favor it. The notion of getting rid of the 10-year term for the FBI and making he, she serve at the pleasure of the president. The notion of the president taking full control of the Department of Justice and making it a partisanly controlled body, controlled by the office of the White House. Enlarging the office of the White House so it can reach down and basically control the operations of all of the agencies of government. All of that stuff clearly is what Donald Trump will be wanting to accomplish, has already expressed a desire to accomplish. The idea of firing tens of thousands of so-called deep state employees and replacing them with partisan loyalists to the president is something that Donald Trump actually talks about, and it's a great deal of what is the premise of Project 2025. And so Donald Trump can walk away from it, claiming that it's a stink bomb that's going to hurt his prospects for getting elected, but he's not going to walk away from it once he does get elected, if he does. He's simply an expedient person willing to say and do whatever it takes to get elected, but once he gets elected, particularly for his last term in office, Katie, bar the door.
You know, Sandy, I will say this. You and I have been talking, you know, now for some time, and you clearly were never one to openly say the kinds of things that you are saying now about Donald Trump. Why do you think it's important now that you point these kinds of things out? Is it because you think the possibility is nearer that he could possibly win the election?
Well, of course. But, I mean, he's still actually in terms of polls. It's still it's still neck and neck, and he still actually has the advantage to the extent that you believe the polls as of today. I mean, the trends in the polls is definitely favoring the Harris-Waltz a ticket, but right now, if we had an election, it might well be that Donald Trump would win. I just think we all ought to resurrect in our mind and make sure that our memories are not deadened to what it was like during the 4 years of the Trump presidency.
But that's what he wants people to remember.
Well, he wants people to remember some facts, okay? He wants them to remember some economic circumstances. He wants to take credit for the economy which he inherited from Barack Obama, and he wants people to ignore the the proposition that his tax reduction was inflationary and contributed to the inflation experienced. He wants people to ignore the fact that his handling of the pandemic bottled up our economy, creating a pent-up demand which almost assured that there would be inflation at the end of the pandemic, as there was. He wants people to ignore the fact that he's the one who negotiated the Afghanistan withdrawal, okay, that called for a May 1st withdrawal, and wants only to look at some of the chaos that occurred at the time of that withdrawal. So, you know, he wants people to have selective memory, but I think people should just remember how this person behaved when they were president and what it actually felt like to have this person in the White House, and to understand that his aspiration for power has grown immeasurably, and it is palpable from all that he has said and done, and it is particularly palpable when we look back and saw what happened on January 6th.
Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Oh, hi, Earl. I just want to say to you that I wasn't, yesterday when I said stop the racist stuff, I wasn't saying that you were saying it. I was saying that, you always say the Republicans, are racist bigots.
I haven't said that ever. I never once said Republicans are racist bigots. Never. Never.
Okay. Well, maybe it was a caller. So going back to the reason why people say, think back to when Trump was president, and what you don't realize is that the guy was just beat up daily when he was president. Daily. It was 4 years of beating up on the guy. And saying and just whatever we could do, impeachment, whatever it was.
Well, Julie, let me just ask you a question. Don't you think Donald Trump asked for it by his behavior? Wasn't Donald Trump, from the time he was running for office, from the way he behaved during the debates, from the things that he said every day, from his name-calling of people, from his nicknaming of people, he was a person who acted entirely outside the norms and precipitated, and I think he did it purposefully, because to be the subject of conversation as far as Donald Trump is concerned, I think, is to be the winner. But my sense is that when people say that he was the object of constant attack, I think that Donald Trump designed it that way. I think that when you call people derogatory nicknames, and you do it with everybody who is your opponent, when you decry and claim that a person running for president wasn't born in the United States and isn't eligible without facts, when you behave the way he behaves, don't you get that kind of reaction? I mean, don't you think? I mean, I'm just surprised that people want to paint him as a victim when he was a proactive kind of a provocateur. And that's what he is. He was a proactive provocateur.
Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, well, if anything, he's not a victim. He absolutely isn't a victim. But this is where I try to tell you guys when I call in. You're talking to me and Republicans like we're children, and we need to be told what's right and how to talk, and you can't say this and you can't say that, because if you do that, then we're going to come after you. It makes no sense. The vaccines are a perfect example. Trump got the vaccines in an incredibly fast amount of time, and Kamala Harris said, I will not take a vaccine that he has come up with.
Julie, hang on a second. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights, while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, and welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy, I'd love to hear Saturday in the Park for the whole, all the way through.
Yeah.
But, man, we got folk waiting. I want
to respond just to Julie's statement that Kamala Harris had apparently, I looked it up, Snopes, people who believe such things maybe don't then take Snopes as a proper fact check, but Harris did not refuse to take the vaccine. What she did say is she did not trust Donald Trump's rollout policy or his statements about COVID-19 and said she would listen to medical experts such as Dr. Anthony Fauci rather than listening to Donald Trump with respect to theories about
the vaccine.
So, you know, she didn't say that. But anyway.
All right, Julie, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll send you guys the clip on Facebook or however. I'll send it to you. Here's the thing. It's just one example of then the Democratic Party, when Obama got in, is going to mandate, you know, vaccines for everybody. And then it was Republicans are bad because they won't take the vaccine and they're spreading the virus. And, you know, it's all this, we're better. We know better than you. That's how it comes off.
Does this show come off like that? I mean, do we come off like that? Because we're trying to just talk about facts. I don't know. I mean, I know that there is a reaction that the Republican campaign is trying to stoke, that there is this intellectual elite that talks down to the people and tries to tell them what's good for them. But that's not what hopefully we're perceived as doing. We're trying to just talk about facts.
Well, I wish I had more time, but thank you very much for the call, Julie. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah, there's a couple of things here. First of all, the Trump victim card, I mean, that was being played since before Trump was appointed by the Electoral College into the White House. He was claiming that the election was going to be fraudulent even before he got into the White House. Trump being picked on, excuse me, a man with over 30,000 lies in 4 years, and that's documented. Okay, and many of those lies were spurious. They were just thrown out there because he could, because people would accept that. In terms of the vaccine, if Trump's statements hadn't been gargle bleach or is there some way we can get ultraviolet light into the body and stuff like that, trying to keep people away from vaccine, arguably hundreds of thousands of lives more could have been saved. In terms of the economy, when Trump left office, the unemployment rate was 14%. You can check that. That's available easily several places online. It's now below 4%. And one more thing, and that is very clearly, if Trump gets back into office, he's tried to distance himself from Project 2025. No, excuse me, that's not going to happen. Project 2025 will happen. An authoritarian government in this country, the likes of which most people can't imagine, because they still believe it.
Hey, Jack.
That's what's going to happen.
I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Robert from West Allis. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what?
Good morning. I'll be real quick. I had a good friend. She was a woman for Trump, and she refused to take the vaccine. And one of her teenage daughters had to go to the prom without a mom. So Julie needs to think about that. You can't listen to these crazy, these wackos on the internet. Sometimes the scientists and the doctors and the people with the education and training know a lot more than these crazies on the internet with a political agenda. And, you know, the great thing about science is it's true whether you believe it or not. And we saw hundreds of thousands of people die because they thought their opinion was correct rather than reality. So the other thing I'd say is please vote today and vote no on Ref 1 and 2.
Hey, well said, Robert. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Eric, you say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I'd like to just say that Trump only wants him to remember when he was president because, you know, period. And they all felt good about themselves, and they were, quote, unquote, owning the libs. That's the only reason he brings that up constantly. It's just a way for them to reminisce together. And then speaking of criticism, he earned all the criticism and then some for his behavior. I mean, if you think about it, John McCain, the reporter with a disability, insulting the Gold Star family, saying he knew what he signed up for. He plays victim 24/7. He's feeding the grievance train. And when she talks, I'm sorry, when your previous caller talks about, you know, speaking to conservative callers, quote unquote conservative callers, they sound like a child. I was thinking that earlier when CJ was speaking. He sounds like a petulant child, and you have to berate him because he's being childish. And again, the grievance.
Well, those are your words, not ours, okay? But we don't want to stoke that.
I sound like a child, and anybody listening can't deny it. You can say you didn't say it, but you can't deny it. It sounds childish. And I say, if you can't ignore these folks, these modern-day Neanderthals, I say ridicule them. Ridicule these weirdos, because obviously that's working.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call.
Let me say, as I was coming here, I went by a coffee house, and sitting out in front of the coffee house is a guy that's there every day. And in front of him, he had a book, a big, thick book, and it was the story of Galileo. And I thought at the time, you know, Galileo was this famous scientist who was fighting to get science to be believed by the people. You know, he was the astronomer who discovered things about our solar system that were obvious in science, but were disbelieved by the church and weren't to be believed because they were contrary to the current dogma. And I worry that that's where we're at the time. I thought that's what we're slipping back into. You know, we're going to have. The people are going to be reading books 300 years from now about the people who stood up against all of these deniers of facts and science and stood up for the important thing, which is the continuation of scientific thought.
Well, anyway, want to thank all of you, Sandy, as always. Always great to have you on board. Calvin, thank you for all the hard work. And thank you, the listening audience. We couldn't do it without you. You make the show go. Up next, Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bott. You've been tuned into the Earling Show. Get out and enjoy the nice weather. A real celebration.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bock.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we learn about the growing popularity of green burials. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the